The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow will look like yesterday.
Prepare the escape pod for a launch.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow.
Pressurizing.
Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future.
You will.
And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state-of-the-art.
Power.
Sifting through science fact and science fiction from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came into logbook.com's escape pod. The logbook.com's escape pod is charting a course through geek history. I'm Earl Green, and it's time for another look at the factual, the far out, and the foundations of the future. This is what tomorrow will look like yesterday. On this day in 1971, potential contractors bidding on the job to build NASA's upcoming space shuttle fleet arrived at similar conclusions. It would be more cost-effective to do away with the single-piece metallic heat shields of Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo, and instead coat the underside of the space shuttle with interlocking carbon-reinforced thermal tiles to protect it from the heat of re-entry. Just two problems. The technology to create, install, and maintain these tiles was still on the drawing board and would push the first shuttle launch back into the 1980s. The other problem was that the tiles could suffer critical damage during either launch or re-entry. It was a decision that would help to end the era of the space shuttle over 30 years later.
31,000 specially made silica tiles are being mounted on the surface of Columbia, making it possible for the shuttle to withstand repeated heating and cooling. Good for 100 or more round trips into space without replacement.
In 2003, the Hubble Space Telescope turned its eye toward an obscure star, V838 Monoceratus, which was suddenly the brightest thing in the Milky Way galaxy. What Hubble saw stunned scientists on Earth, a rapidly expanding shell of matter that had been blown out into space, its diameter growing to be much larger than the star itself. The event happened 20,000 years ago, and the light from this stellar eruption had only just reached Earth. The 19th full-time crew of the International Space Station lifted off in a Soyuz capsule on this day in 2009. Aboard this Soyuz was Microsoft Office software engineer Charles Simonyi, making his second trip into orbit as a space tourist, buying his own seat aboard Soyuz. He was in space for 12 days, returning to Earth with the station's 18th resident crew. Born on this day in 1904, author Joseph Campbell, whose book, The Hero with a Thousand Faces, was one of the first serious studies in comparative and shared mythology. The book proved to be a huge influence on one George Lucas. Actor Leonard Nimoy, Star Trek's Mr. Spock, was born on this day in 1931.
I've been asked to say a few words to Earth people about the stars. You see, I've been there.
Sorry, had to subject you to more of Mr. Spock's music from outer space there. Biologist Richard Dawkins was born today in 1941. Film composer Alan Silvestri, the man behind the music of the Back to the Future trilogy and Cosmos, a Space-Time Odyssey, was born in 1950. ELO keyboardist Richard Tandy was born on this day in 1948. On this day in 1963, the culmination of nearly a year of study at the BBC brought about the first of a series of creative meetings presided over by new head of drama Sidney Newman. The study and the meetings concerned the emerging field of science fiction and whether or not the BBC had any business trying to launch an ongoing science fiction series. The result, 8 months later, would be the premiere of a little show called Doctor Who. In 1989, J. Michael Straczynski completed his series Bible and first draft pilot script for a new science fiction series he called Babylon 5.
I was there at the dawn of the third age of mankind. It began in the Earth year 2257. With the founding of the last of the Babylon stations, located deep in neutral space.
The next step was to try to sell it in a market that was either scared to death of the typical sci-fi show's price tag, or studios who felt that the show wouldn't stand a chance without the word Star Trek attached. Babylon 5 premiered a little under 4 years later. But meanwhile in 1989...
Hybrid computers and neurological holograms didn't exist in 1956.
Only in theory.
But this is 56.
Well, it is for you, it is not for me. You're part of a time travel experiment that went a little caca.
How little caca?
Well, you're here, which is a biggie. I mean, that's a first. It's Nobel Prize time. You should be proud of that.
And?
And we're experiencing technical difficulties in retrieving you.
NBC premiered the 2-hour pilot episode of Quantum Leap, starring Scott Bakula and Dean Stockwell. While the show was about hoping each leap would be the leap home, the first season was a battle to find an audience. As a mid-season replacement with a stylized science fiction concept, Quantum Leap was a hard sell at first, but it soon became a respectable part of NBC's late 80s, early 90s primetime lineup. On this day in 1992, Red Dwarf fans had their minds blown by the double bluff of Back to Reality, the series' fifth season finale.
It's coming straight for us. There's only three alternatives.
He thinks we're either a threat, fool, or a mate. He's gonna either kill us, eat us, or hump us. We'll persuade him that we're not that kind of oceanic salvage vessel. Holy Scarba, pronto.
And in 2005, Doctor Who returned as a running series for the first time in 16 years with the episode Rose.
Really though, Doctor? Tell me, who are you?
I can feel it. The turn of the earth. The ground beneath our feet is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, and the entire planet is hurtling around the sun at 67,000 miles an hour, and I can feel it. We're falling through space, you and me, clinging to the skin of this tiny little world, and if we let go... That's who I am. Now forget me, Rose Tyler. Go home.
You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. Thelogbook.com's expanded guide to Doctor Who on TV from 1963 through 2011, 4.1-second edition, is now available. Over 400 pages catching you up on the time-traveling mythology of the longest-running science fiction series in TV history. You can get it in print or ebook form. You can pick up other original books, ebooks, and videos, and hundreds of other titles in thelogbook.com store anytime. Thanks for listening to the Escape Pod.
Commencing escape pod landing for all seekers. The logbook of your escape pod was written and produced by Earl Payne.